Good morning. Greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you to Cary Baptist Church this morning, and it's really great to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And we also want to welcome those who are joining us online via Zoom. I don't know if we can just say hi to them as well. But also for those who will be listening to this audio tape at a later date, you know, they are really going to be blessed by what we're going to do today. So we can see Teen, morning. Pat and Norman, hi. Rosemary. And I think that's Griffith. But then we also are really blessed this morning because we're going to have Chami's family all the way from Sri Lanka online as well. So that's a real blessing. Good morning. So Minister Colin Cartwright is preaching at the Church of the Resurrection in Groveville this morning. So it is a privilege to be leading the service today together with Chami. And I'm sure that you're going to have a blessed time. I also want to welcome any visitors here today. I see there's lots of new faces. You are more than welcome joining us this morning. And I also want to extend a warm welcome to my sister-in-law, Michelle. We haven't actually been together in the same space since 2019, so it's a real blessing that we have here this morning. And you may not be aware, but there's actually quite a lot that happens in pulling together the service. I counted probably about 11 people that had input in today's service, so I really want to thank each and everyone that's playing a part today, and may God continue to bless and use you in the way that he is doing now. So let's open in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, for this new day that you have blessed us with. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for each one of us that have come together in your presence this morning. We come with expectant hearts, Lord, to hear from you, to receive a word from you. And I pray, Lord, that as your word is read and preached this morning, that you would speak directly to each one of us. And we thank you, Lord, for the free gift of salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, your Son. And so, Lord, be with us as we praise and worship you this morning, giving you all the praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, our music group will be introducing two new songs to us this morning. They're going to be singing I Surrender, and that will be followed by Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And I propose that we maybe sit down for the first song. If you do know it, please do sing along, but maybe just sit and listen, and then we'll have another opportunity to join in. But the words of I surrender has really touched my heart. It says, I surrender, I know you hear my cry, speak to me now. And it goes on to say, I want to know you more. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. And so what does it mean to surrender? You know, it means to stop resisting, to give up, or to hand over. And so I can tell you with confidence this morning that God's arms are open this morning to receive you. His ears are poised to hear your heart's cry. And his ears are open to receive our praise and worship. So let's do that this morning. Thank you, Tim.
Amen. Grace unfolds, I hunger and thirst. God is Lord, my God. When I go astray, bless the Lord, oh my soul. For all of my betrayals, He will not repay. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Through mercy and compassion, His great love is proved. He covers my transgressions like the snow. As far as east from west are all my sins removed. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He saved me from the pit when I had lost all hope. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. From endless springs of kindness, all His blessings flow. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Our days will fade like flowers and our weeks spent. And like the wind, our years will come and go. Everlasting favor is His covenant. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Merciful and gracious is my God to me.
bless the Lord, oh my soul. And I will tell his goodness through eternity. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And bless the Lord, you angels, all you heavenly hosts, and every living creature here below. Praise the Father, praise the Son, and Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Bless the Lord, come on.
And bless the Lord, you angels, all you heavenly hosts, and every living creature here below. Oh, praise the Father, praise the Son, and Holy Ghost. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Thank you, music group. The notices will now be read by Margaret. And thereafter, we'll have a short talk by Chami.
Good morning, everyone. And it's lovely to see you with us, even though it's the middle of the summer holidays. And a special welcome to our visitors from Hounslow. Thank you for making the journey. It's lovely to have you with us this morning. And also to Chami's family from Sri Lanka on Zoom. It's great what we can achieve with modern technology. I would also like to pause and thank both Charlene and Chami for agreeing to lead our worship this morning. Thank you. It's a blessing to have you as one of our family and ministering to us. Now, you would think it's the middle of the summer, so I won't have many notices. Well, it's true to say that all the activities or the main activities are on hold, but I've made up for it. So I would like to let you know that all the campers from the Belmont and Carey camp returned safely yesterday, and I've had an update from one of the camp leaders to say that they did have a great week, the weather was favourable, and we will pray that the Lord has spoken to a number of the young people who were on camp and planted a few seeds to grow in their journey of faith. Now, you'll have heard me mention before, Saturday the 10th of September is fast approaching. So if you're feeling energetic, please do get a sponsor form from me. Colin is cycling on behalf of the church. So for anybody who's not familiar, the Beds and Hearts Historic Churches Trust have a main fundraising event once a year, and it's a sponsored cycle round historic churches in the area. We're particularly interested. We are a historic church, we're on the list. But any money that we raise, we get to give half to the historic churches and they return half to us. And since we have a few restoration projects of our own, it's quite a tidy way to combine with their efforts in advertising. So if you're feeling energetic, please give me a nudge. You can even hike. So if you wanted to pick St Albans or Berkhamsted or even Hemel and walk round, you're sponsored per church rather than per mile. So see me afterwards. And if anyone's feeling a little less energetic, there are still some spaces on the form to host riders and walkers when they arrive here at the church between 9 o'clock and 4 o'clock on Saturday, the 10th of September. So either sign up or give me a nudge after the service, please. I would like to draw your attention to the fact that it's the time of year to bring back any of the Baptist Missionary Society mission boxes that some of you may be keeping your loose change in at home. Could you please bring them back to Janice Breckel in the next few weeks so that we'll make our annual donation to BMS? Now, another note that you may have had from, I think it was one of the newsletters, Decorum Community Action have issued a few leaflets. Elizabeth has been kind enough to bring them to the church. There's three services for folks that are less able to get out and about, certainly using public transport, a shopping service, the ability to call a lift to get you to appointments, or odd days out. Now, you need to sign up for all three services, but for the first two, shopping and community transport, you would need to be less able and not able to get yourself on the bus. But if you sign up for all three, you're also entitled, if you're resident in Hemel, to sign up for the days out. So please check and see, there are some leaflets available, either from Elizabeth, or we'll have them available at the front afterwards, if that would actually make your life a bit easier. And last, but by no means least, unfortunately, Rifat's went so well today, so there won't be any coffee after the service, but hopefully you'll still have a few moments for a time of fellowship. Thank you. I'll hand back to Shani.
Thank you very much, Margaret. Thanks, Charlene. Let me add my welcome also. It's always such a pleasure to see you in the house of the Lord, and I'm pleased to be here with the children of God. And as a tradition, we have a children's talk, probably about 5 minutes. Could see some children there. But my apologies, other talented preachers have some activities going through. They're getting involved with the church and lots of things done. But I'm sorry, I'm not going to do anything like that today. But it's just a 5 minute talk to amuse you or to learn something or to bring some of your memories back. Here, there were these two brothers, Jack and John. Naughty as ever. I remember me and my brother, who I lost in December. We were the last two of the seven siblings. And yes, we were naughty. So I remember still my aunties used to say, Shami, if you look out, because those days there's no mobile phone, no calls that you are coming to visit. So suddenly I could see like a gang of our relations turn up at the door. And my mom, she never made a fuss. She so willingly prepared food. And even if they're after lunch, no, you have to have some lunch and go. That kind of things. I mean, sure, it shows my age though, but this was the time. So my aunties used to say, Chami, when you guys turn up, first thing we look at is whether you and your brother both are there or just one. If it's just one, we are at peace. You can talk to your parents. If both are there, our eyes and ears are outside the house to see what you guys are up to. So these two brothers, Jack and John, naughty as ever, their mom turned and told this pastor, you know, we've had enough. We just can't. Something happens in the village, they are involved. Even like miles apart from their house, something happens, something bad happens. One of them at least were involved. So the pastor said, okay, send them to me. But send them one by one. Probably he was a bit scared as well then. So the mom went home after church and said, the father wants to see you. Really? Yeah, but one by one. So because the pastor said, send the elder one first, she sent the elder one. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, probably missed the pastor's siesta, but he didn't mind. So this big maid bloke with a huge beard, the pastor sitting in his room. And here comes Jack, standing here. Come in, take a seat. So he sat. And first thing he asked, so that guy was wondering, what has happened really? He said, where is God? I'm sorry, I have to remove this, others I'll be screaming your eardrums out. And he was stunned. And the fathers just keep on staring at him. Where is God? So what the father was expecting in the past is like some answer, what he thinks about God. Where is God? If God is here watching, he was still staring at it. And the third time he had to kind of like scream so I had to get away from the mic. Where is God? And he looked at him, jumped out of the room, ran right, nonstop. He went home. Probably about half a mile. Went direct to his brother's room. Hey, what happened? What did he ask? Man, we're finished, brother. We're finished this time. Why? What happened? God is lost and they think it's us.
Thank you, Chami. I think my mommy had it easy because it was just my brother and I, and I was the good one. Well, my brother's not here to defend himself, so you're going to have to take my word for it. But we will now together stand and sing Heart of Worship. But at the same time, let us also take the offering tithes. But as visitors, please do not feel obligated to contribute. But if you are able to, obviously we will accept. But let us stand in worship.
Music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you look into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. You deserve. Now I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required. Much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
It's all about you.
It's all about you.
All about you, Jesus.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for these gifts. And Lord, we pray that you would use it, Lord, in the work of our church, and Lord, that people will be blessed by these gifts. We're also mindful, Lord, of those who don't have to give at this time, who are worried financially, Lord, and I just pray that you would make a way for them, that you would provide for them in Jesus' name, and we just honor and praise you, Lord. Amen. I am now going to ask Michelle to minister us in song.
Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Safe and secure, he will never abandon you. You are his treasure, and he finds his pleasure in you. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you, complete it, will be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. He who started the work will be
Thank you, Michelle and Vivid. We praise God. We are now going to hear from God's word from John's Gospel, chapter 15, and we're going to ask Colin and Obie to read that, and then we'll hand over to Chami. Thank you.
John 15. Starting at verse 1, you'll find it on page 1083 of the Church Bible. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of God.
Our reading continues. I'll read from verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command, if I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen.
Praise be to God for his word. And Obed and Colin, thank you so much for reading for us. Let's go back to 2,000 years ago when Jesus said that. And let's listen really carefully. I'll tell you why we should listen very carefully. Jesus Christ always took simple things, well understood by the people of Israel and us as well. For example, you remember in God's word, Jesus took a little child on his lap. Let's talk about the child, a Samaritan, wheat and the harvest, and lots of visual things. I'm sure if he was here today, he would have talked about a tablet or a mobile phone. He always does the simple things which is understood by people. And the last visual object, why do I say last? Because he was going to the cross. And he never talked about any visual things up before this. And after this, the visual last object he was talking about, the wine. The logo of Israel, even on their coin, you could see the wine. Lord Jesus, after celebrating Passover, told his disciples he was going to die. And disciples knew that. They were grieved. So they were walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. And just imagine somebody talking to you from the deathbed. Won't you listen very carefully? I want that kind of attention this morning, not to listen to me, listen to the Lord, because he has an amazing message for you and me both. So he told, I'm sure that even the one who wrote this would have been really carefully listening, because they know Jesus is going to die. And every word they didn't want to miss. And the first thing Jesus says is what? We heard the reading, I am the true vine. And the disciples would have wondered, what? What are you talking about? You're going to die and telling you are the wine? First, if you look at the reading, Jesus says unfruitful branches will be thrown and cut off. Jesus was talking about the unfruitful Israel. You could have seen this type of vines. Unfruitful. Why do I say unfruitful? They are full of lovely branches. not been pruned or cut, just let it grow. Amazing branches, beautiful as ever, glamour everywhere. But no fruits. My dad had one of these. I mean, my sister Ramya on Zoom might remember. In the front garden, a huge creeper of vine, which goes around the front garden, beautiful, gives shades to everyone. We used to go, and I mean, seven siblings used to go around and sit underneath, but no fruits, no fruit at all. Once a year, it produced one bunch of grapes, and I cannot lie, in the house of God, we used to go out, seven siblings, just imagine, one goes out and have a look one time, 70 times per day, we look at it, oh, is it ready for eating, ready for eating. A couple of months go, still green, bigger, and it exceeds the limitations of our tolerance, though. So we take one and just put it in our mouth, and just that. Sour as ever. Not green prune. So, Lord can take these unfruitful branches and cut them off from the vine, and we can do nothing about it. We can only pray. Hey, if I'm unfruitful here, Lord can take me out of Carey Baptist Church. But does he do that, really? Does he do that? It's a good question. He won't do it, let me tell you. And we'll go on to that one a bit later. So then what would he do? He prunes. He prunes us first. And most of the time, we misunderstand this pruning for disciplining. What is discipline then? Because it's not the sermon today, but I just, my words are not powerful. Now let's see what the scripture says in Hebrews 12:6. Don't worry to turn on, I'll read that to you. 12:6 says, my son, do not make light of Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. So yes, we go on the wrong way. God takes us blind. He needs discipline. We need it more than anyone else. That's discipline. And here comes pruning. What's that for? That's a very common phrase we would hear, like, I'm doing myself, somebody taps you on the head. I say, what's that for? We do that when we are puzzled of the actions we just experienced, isn't it? Some here, an example, we are really doing well. Yeah? We are serving God wholeheartedly, serving at church extremely, sincerely, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and moreover, loving God with all our hearts. But at once, I'm sure we all have experienced that, at once, bang, here comes trouble, tribulation, disaster, and pain. This is called pruning. And we ask God, what's that for? I'm sure I have to be honest, I have asked. What's that for, God? And the most frustrating thing is, I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about, when God does not answer. You're going through so much pain, God does not answer. And we think, God, aren't you bothered? And the thing worse than this is, then we start pondering, we start doing things, thinking it's disciplining to see what we have gone, where we have gone wrong, what we have done. And we ask ourselves, now what? It's a complete, a different picture. That's why we always said God sees the bigger picture. And by doing that, we miss all the goodness, all the good things what God offers us during that period, because we are busy. Oh, well, how can I get it right? When Jesus said, it's finished. I have done it. Don't worry. That's the reason he brought me here, to encourage not only you, you and me both, with the truth. We read Job's story so many times with gladness sometimes, because we know the end. Just imagine Job's predicament when he was going through tribulation, pain.
I wonder whether if he asked God, what's that for? I don't think so. But he has all the rights to ask because he's a righteous man. And let me tell you, church, we also have the right to ask God because he loves interrogatory prayers. Remember Habakkuk said, Lord, I'm not going to do that. He loves that. Just ask the question. Go home today and ask the question, why am I going this? Show me. He loves that. So here's the secret. Listen as if I'm talking from my deathbed, because this is what the Lord wants you to know. Because otherwise, when I go home, he's going to ask me, Chami, when was it in your preaching that you lifted me up and you shared the secret with the church? It's not you. I have to lift Jesus Christ up. He's the one who's going to bring you close to him. So let's take the literal meaning of the vine first before going into unpacking the scripture. Listen to this carefully. Closest the wine dresser gets to the wine is the only time when it's been proved. Did you hear that correctly? The closest, not even when he's gathering the harvest, but when he's pruning. Why? He has the most sharp knife, probably the whole world. It's a very, very sharp knife. He has to be really careful when he's pruning. So this is a literal meaning of it. So next time we go through pruning, don't forget, God is the closest to you. You might think God is not bothered. He doesn't know. Don't be asked God. You don't know what I'm. He's all over you. He's assuring this to you and me both this morning. He's all over you. He's the closest. Vine has to be pruned. And here's another secret. You know what? It breaks God's heart. I always break down when I talk about it. It breaks God's heart to prune you. Then why does he do that? Because his unconditional love makes that happen. Have you heard the old British saying, if you want a lovely rose garden, let your enemy to prune it. I remember, I think Hillary told me, Jane and Elizabeth put some pictures of the wine at the back of Staten House. But Hillary has seen those wine when they were being pruned. If you look at the wine, a vineyard being pruned, it's like a war zone, bleeding, half naked. Why? Because the wine dresser wants more fruit. Fruit for whom? You may ask. I'm suffering. My family is suffering. Job would have wondered. I lost my family. Fruits for whom? Fruits for the Father. We are created to bear fruit for the Father. We are created to bear fruit for God. We are created to live for His glory. Here's another truth. Let me share the literal meaning first. Some branches run on the ground. However, the vine dresser tries to save them. They're lying on the ground. Still attached to the vine though, probably like us sometimes, Sunday is attached. All 6 days we run on the ground, full of dirt, mud, dust, and sin. I read a book about a real vine dresser, not a Christian, but he talks about, somebody asked, hey, did you cut these branches off? He said, he's shocked. No, 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 no. I come with a bucket full of water, sit at every vine, washes them carefully, ties them to the vine with a little thread. Why? He sees the fruits in future. So what's the spiritual meaning of this? When Jesus says, abide in me. Remember that? Abide in me and I abide in you. Jesus lovingly washes us. Though you say all, not even 6 days, all 7 days full of sin, he comes and washes you with his precious blood and he abides in us. That's the beauty of it. So you may ask, yes, we are at peace. We are at the bosom of Jesus, fruit for God. What do I get really? I have to wait till I die and go to God and see, here, God, okay, well done, my son and my daughter. No, look at your Bibles, verse 7 and 8. which we just heard, 7 and 8 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. Jesus did not draw a line and said, hey guys, ask only the ones what you need. Don't ask the ones that you don't need really, they're luxury. No. Jesus said, whatever you wish, and he said, and it will be done for you. He's someone who never lied. He cannot lie because he's the truth. But I was tempted to ask like a chauffeur-driven Lamborghini or a blood-red Ferrari outside church, Lord, when I go, can you do that? And he said, yes, you, I can. He said, we can even move the mountains if you have a slight faith of a mustard seed. And why does he do that? Is he saying us, hey, I'm doing a favor, guys, you know? Don't forget that. No, he's doing it. Read, it's your, God's word says it. If you remain in me, my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. You see, Father is thrilled to give you things, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You don't need to carry a Bible or kneel down and pray in this in the street. People will look at you and know that you're a Christian. The way you behave, you're God's disciples. Okay, so here comes the harvest time now. So we've been pruned, we got the grapes back, and the gardener comes with empty buckets. So this is the truth. Now they go to on a tractor to each vine. Those days, he comes with empty buckets, keeps them, leaves them at each vine empty. And these vines are now full of plum grapes. For whom? For the gardener. He just read, who is the gardener now? He just read, look at the first foremost verse of John 15. I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener. Do you see now how precious we are to God? Whatever you think of yourself, you are precious to God. You are his vine, you're his harvest. This is why he has saved us. We are full of plum grapes. Now, does the story end here? No. Our loving Father has to squeeze us because the plum grapes has to be squeezed to get the best wine. You remember Paul's words when Paul said, I am being poured out like a drink offering. For whom? For others. So that people will see your good deeds. But that's another sermon. We are talking about pruning today. So I'm not going to go in there. I'm going to close with two profound lessons we should learn from this. One is really, really important. And I have experience and I'm telling you, try it, go home and try abiding with the Lord and you'll see. Number one is your union with Christ. You're not of this world. You're not soldiers of the army. You're soldiers of Jesus Christ. You don't get involved in civilian affairs. Cut somebody on front of you, you don't honk and say, hey, show fingers or whatever it is. No, you talk to the God. Lord, what do you think about that guy? And he said, oh, pray for him. So union with Christ always, and union with fellow brothers and Christians, brothers and sisters. Very, very important. Get dressed on a Sunday, just turn up. Don't worry thinking about who's going to preach. Oh, Chami's going to preach. Oh, it's going to be boring. I'm going to fall asleep. No, just get dressed, turn up, and see what God will do with your grapes. Number two, barren branch. Without Jesus Christ, my friends, we can do nothing. Nothing at all. We are useless wood, though. Why do I say that? Jesus was a carpenter. He knew a lot about wood rather than you and me know about it. And he knew these barren branches is no good for anything. You cannot make furniture out of it. It's good for firewood. That's why he said we cut it and put it into the fire. And he doesn't want to do that. So he prunes us. God will use your best wine to demonstrate his love for others. Whatever you do to others, God is demonstrating. Even they're believers or not. fellow Christian or non-Christian, doesn't matter. They may see your good deeds and glorify you, Father, in heaven. Your best vine. You know, God boasts about us. Haven't you boasted about your children? Oh, he's done this, he's done that. Why? Because they deserve, you deserve, because it's your hard work. God is showing his church. Look at Ephesians said, to the heavenly realms, the authorities in heaven, he's showing, hey, look at my church. See the way they behave. They are my children. He's boasting. So let's be like that. Let's live. Love one another. Bear much fruit. More fruit. Much more fruit for the Father by loving and enduring. All provision is given to us by Lord Jesus. We cannot say, Lord, I just cannot love this person because I lack something. No. He's the source of love. He's given us everything. Just go into the community. Run the race. Constant communion with Christ and constant love and touch with our dear brothers and sisters. Never lose that. Go now in peace. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. Praise be to God. I'm going to ask the music group to come as we sing and stand together. Abide with me.
Lord, with me.
Thank you. We're going to have a time of prayer now. Dear Lord, thank you for your spoken word this morning and for the reminder that we need to stay connected with you so that we can serve our purpose here on earth. Your word also teaches us in 1 Peter 3 that your eyes are on the righteous and your ears are attentive to our prayers. And so we are grateful for this opportunity to pray for others and ourselves at this time. Lord, we pray that you will bless and heal our world, your creation. There are many suffering at this time, but we pray that your love will comfort, restore, and transform lives. Bring hope to the hopeless and unity where there is conflict. Regardless of the rebellion and the destruction that we see, we have a hope in you through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And we pray, Lord, that every soul on this earth will come to the saving knowledge of your grace and your everlasting and unfailing love. We pray for our BMS mission partners this morning and others, dear Lord, who are serving you, that you will bless and sustain them, that you will multiply the resources available to them, so that they can reach as many people as possible who are desperate in our world. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for our country, those in government, and business leaders. We pray that men and women with integrity will stand up and lead our country. Give our leaders the wisdom and the guidance to navigate the daily challenges and the demands that they are faced with on a daily basis. We pray that our leaders will know you in a personal way and trust you, Lord, with the decisions that they make on our behalf and for our country. We also pray for those affected by the impact of the global economic crisis and that workable solutions will be found that will bring respite to those in desperate need at this time. And Lord, we also pray for our church here in Hemel Hempstead, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will continue to bless and use each one of us according to the spiritual gifts you have given us. Help each one of us to live our faith boldly and consistently, showing your love to all those we come into contact with. We pray, Lord, for those who are unwell at this time, those who are awaiting hospital treatment or have other difficulties. And we are especially mindful at this time of Pauline and David, of Ray and Mark, Eileen, Anne and Tony, Andrew, Norma, and Brian. Lord, you know each one of them personally. You know their specific needs at this time, and I pray that you would meet those, dear Lord. I'm going to be quiet now for a moment, as there might be someone in your heart, in your mind this morning that you'd like to pray for. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers this morning. We know that you will answer these according to your will and your timing. Thank you that you are a God that is slow to anger and abounding in love and compassion. Continue to remain in us and direct and guide our paths in the week ahead as we put our trust in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand as we sing our final hymn, I Stand Amazed. Thank you.
I Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. It was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no fears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. From the world of light to comfort him in his sorrows, he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, sorrows he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul shall ever be.
God. Let us say the blessing together, the grace of the Lord. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.